ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 27 एंड 28। अथ देशान् प्रवक्ष्यामि धर्मादि श्रेय आवहान् स वै पुण्यतमो देशः सत्पात्रं यत्र लभ्यते। आदेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूड, नाउ आई शुड डिस्क्राइब द प्लेसेस वेयर रिलीजियस परफॉर्मेंसेस मे बी वेल एग्जीक्यूटेड। एनी प्लेस वेयर अ वैष्णव इज अवेलेबल is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education and mercy are also most auspicious and sacred. Purport. In this verse, it is indicated that a Vaishnava temple where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is worshipped and where Vaishnavas are engaged in the service of the Lord is the best sacred place for performing any religious ceremonies. At the present day, especially in big cities, people live in small apartments and are not able to establish a deity or temple. Under the circumstances, therefore, the centers and temples being established by the expanding Krishna consciousness movement are the best sacred places for performing religious ceremonies. Although people in general are no longer interested in religious ceremonies or deity worship, the Krishna consciousness movement gives everyone the chance to advance in spiritual life by becoming Krishna conscious. अथ देशान् प्रवक्ष्यामि धर्मादि श्रेय आवहान् स वै पुण्यतमो देश सत्पात्रं यत्र लभ्यते। Now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. Any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is a most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned brahmanas observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education and mercy are also the most auspicious and sacred. In this chapter, on the request of Sri Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narad Muni is explaining the ideal characteristics and duties of a householder to practice a progressive path of spiritual life. And there are many duties to be performed in the matter of religious performances. And all these religious performances are to be executed considering these three categories: Desha, Kala and Patra. Here Narad Muni explains in the previous verses about the times where this ceremony should be performed, like Shraddha ceremony to be performed at some particular time. There are seasonal times for performing some particular duties in a particular time one should perform the a particular kind of ritual and ceremonies. All of these tithis and all of these times are explained. And therefore, Narad Muni, having concluded the times or auspicious times where these ceremonies are to be done, is now followed by the place, desha, or the place where such religious ceremonies can be executed. So here we find a very nice description in the Srimad Bhagavatam. where again Narad Muni is suggesting another type of, a similar type of place, an ideal place for executing the process of penance. And this comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto, the description of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva is denied to be allowed to be sit on the lap of his father. Suruchi is warned, has warned Dhruva that unless you take birth from my womb, you cannot sit on the lap of your father. And therefore, when King Uttanapad does not respond to this very sensitive situation, Dhruva Maharaj becomes very angry. He's a 5-year-old boy. He goes to his mother. The mother has come to know of such a cumbersome condition. So she has trying to pacify Dhruva. Because Dhruva now wants to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wants to get his demand satisfied from the Lord. So Suniti advises Dhruva Maharaj to go to the forest in search of God. So here we find Narad Muni is on the way, and Narad Muni has tried to convince Dhruva to give up his conviction. And then Narad Muni is saying, he's trying to explain him how a child should go back to his place and just play with his toys. It is not the time to just take note of insult and honor. What is insult for a 5-year-old child? You insult a 5-year-old child, he does not retaliate. And even if he retaliates, you give him a candy, a sugar candy. Nowadays they give chocolate or toys or something like that, and then he forgets. In fact, he starts honoring you, praising you, because you have given him something which he likes. So for him, honor and dishonor is practically inconsequential. But Dhruva was not a child, an ordinary child. He was a son of a Kshatriya. And that Kshatriya tendency was very prominent even in this age. And therefore, Narad Muni tried to convince him. Narad Muni has convinced so many great kings. But this time he could not convince simply a young boy of 5 years old with his expert philosophy. And therefore Narad Muni is wondering, what a kind of Kshatriya nature, what this powerful Kshatriya nature is. It is so strongly manifested in this child that this child is taking so seriously the insult it's not supposed to be very consequential. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj says, I appreciate your good advice, but this good advice does not sit in my heart. If you can help me attain my goal, please instruct me. And he's saying, Nunam Bhavan Bhagavato Yo Angaja Parameshchinaha Vitudan Ate Atate Vinam Hitaya Jagato Arkavat. Is saying, you are a great soul, and you Anga Jaha Parameshthina, you are born. Anga Jaha means you are born from the body of Lord Brahma. And what are you doing? You are simply carrying, like, what is this? What is this? He is traveling. Hitaya Jagato. Jagga means to move all around. Jagato, Hitaya, is you are moving all around the world by carrying what? Not a suitcase, attache, or a laptop. Like, you carry a laptop for your business purpose if you travel. Narad Muni was not carrying a laptop. What was he carrying? He was carrying a veena. Vitudan atate veenam. You're traveling, carrying, playing upon a musical instrument called the veena. And therefore, you are like the sun. Arkavat. Arkavat means like the sun. Why has Dhruva Maharaj compared Narad Muni to the sun? Because the sun also travels all over, which this is not accepted by the so-called modern scientists. And they say the sun is stationary and the earth is moving around the sun. But the Srimad Bhagavatam clearly describes in this very simple fact that the sun is moving all over, is traversing. You are like the sun, because a sun also has a traversing path. And just like the sun simply does not travel without purpose, without benefit. Hitaya. What is a hitaya? There is light. Without light, probably we could not carry our regular duties. But that is fine. If there is no light, even in darkness you can survive. But if there is no heat, if there is no heat from the sun, we could not survive even for a second. And therefore, the sun is so important, and therefore Dhruva has compared Narad Muni to be the sun. Not only that, you are distributing the light of Krishna consciousness, but you are also giving the heat of bhakti to everyone by playing your instrument, Veena. The heat of bhakti is being permeated all over by you. Therefore, you are very qualified to fulfill everyone's desire. And therefore, again, Maitreya is saying, is continuing this narration, that that Narad Muni, upon hearing the words, became very compassionate and gave him an expert advice. And Narada is saying that you were advised by your mother, Suniti, to follow the path of devotional service to the Lord. And I think so that is very much suitable. Therefore, you should completely bhajatam pravanatmanaha bhagavan vasudevastam bhaja bhajatvam. You must absorb yourself. And therefore, here it is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that Narad Muni is referred here to as Bhagavan, because he can bless any person just as Supreme Personality of Godhead can. And then, not only that, the blessing. What was the blessing? The blessing was Narad Muni's engaging Dhruva in devotional service. Just as Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to engage Arjuna to fight. Similarly, Narad Muni is giving an expert advice how to engage Dhruva in the process of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, Krishna was similarly present before Arjuna, and even though he could have given him all facilities for victory over the opposing party without a fight, he did not do so. Instead, he asked Arjuna to fight. In the same way, Narad Muni asked Dhruva Maharaj to undergo devotional discipline in order to achieve the desired result. Like once Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying how we are actually spreading Krishna consciousness, we have taken over this center, we have started this center and all those things, and then in some time he wrote a letter that Prabhupada, we cannot actually do much more. And Prabhupada said that if Krishna would have wanted, he would have given you the entire USA, but you are not ready for it, therefore Krishna is not giving you. Krishna is willing to give everything, but our receptacle is quite shallow. And therefore, by the process of Krishna consciousness and undergoing a devotional discipline, one increases the depth of the receptacle to receive the causeless and unlimited mercy. So then he is saying that, what to speak of that, the Supreme Lord, Narad Muni is saying, don't think that he is incapable. Don't think that he is not able to fulfill. He is saying that any person who desires the results of four principles, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, ya ichchet shreya atmana, immediately the Supreme Lord yields. Ekam hi eva hares tatra karanam pada sevanam. And saying that immediately the Lord fulfills the desires of such a devotee. So therefore, now Narad Muni is saying, you cannot just practice devotional service here, right and now here. He's saying, tat tata, tat tat gacha bhadram te. तत्तात गच्छ भद्रम ते यमुनायास ततम सूचि. He's saying, तात गच्छ भद्रम, may you be blessed. May you be blessed, why? यमुनायास ततम सूचि. Go to the banks of the Yamuna. पुण्यम मधुवनम यत्र सानिध्यम नित्यदा हरे. This is why, like, sometimes people say, what is the need to go to a particular place, a favorable place to perform devotional service? Why can't we practice? Because devotional service is ahoituki apratihata. So we can practice it anywhere, anytime, any place, any circumstances. What is the difficulty? But here it is said that very clearly, even in experience, if any industrialist or entrepreneur wants to set up his industry, he cannot say, okay, I got some place here, I'll start manufacturing the unit here. Right? I'll start producing my products here. What does he do if he wants to set up a factory? He, first of all, selects a place. What is the place? What are the factors for the place? There should be enough water available. There should be raw materials available at a very close distance without any transportation cost exceeding. There should be enough electricity, supply of power. Many industrial units are shifted from here, from the suburbs to and far distance suburbs. Like if you go beyond, if you go towards Vasai Virar, you will find many units out there because there is more power supply which is available there. Therefore, everyone is shifting their units there. And therefore, there should be also cheap labor available and very easy transport, less octroi cost. Therefore, just at the outskirts, if you find the many factories which are near Daman, there is a very less octroi there, the cheap labor, right? So therefore, even if you see, there was one company who wanted to set up a unit for producing mass scale cars, the latest model. And therefore, he tried to select a place in a state. So that's the company, the unit, they went there and they put the proposal, what kind of facilities you will provide if you put up the unit there. So everything was negotiated, but finally there was something which did not satisfy their interest. Therefore, they shifted the whole project to another state which gave more facilities. And therefore, there is more amenities, it is more easier for the production. Therefore, bhakti also has to be performed in a place where it is more lucrative, easily accessible and maximum output. That's what everyone should do. And similarly, if you want to achieve God, then maximum potential, a place has to be selected. And therefore, Narad Muni is, of all the holy places, he's selecting the forest of Madhuvan. He's selecting the forest of Madhuvan near the bank of Yamuna. Why? Because Sanidhyam Nityada Hare. Hare means Lord Hari, who takes away all the unwanted desires, unwanted attachments. But also Hari means one who actually gives love, who steals, he also steals the heart of the devotee. And therefore, Krishna in Vrindavan is saying Sanidhyam. But Sanidhyam also means that Sanidhyam and Nityada means very close and always present. But that also is also possible in Paramatma future. Paramatma also is very Sanidhyam, close to the living entity, also always with the living entity in every condition of life. So then why not just worship the Lord in the heart? But then Narada Muni is saying that though the Paramatma is everywhere, but Sanidhya means it is his own home, like Vrindavan or Mayapur. Equally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to taste that nectar of Krishna Prem. Because whenever Lord Krishna also saw himself in the jewel pillar, like Krishna was on the foothills of Govardhan, and happened to just see a very brilliantly shining jewel, which happened to reflect images. So he happened to see that jewel and he saw his own form in that jewel. And he was just stunned by the beauty of this person that he was envisioning in that jewel. And then he was so stunned, finally some coward boys came and told, "Krishna, Krishna, what's happened? Why are you not joining our play?" Krishna says, just see. Just watch this beautiful form, this person. You can see that here. Coward boy said, "Come on, Krishna, that's you. We always see you and therefore we know, we appreciate your beauty." But Krishna is saying, therefore, Krishna has become so attracted by his own form that he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spends his last years of his manifested Leela in this planet in Gambira Mandir, enjoying the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. Once, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wandering over the place, and he happened to see the ocean, the sea, and Mahaprabhu thought that this was Yamuna. And he just ran, seeing the Yamuna, jumped into it in ecstasy. And finally, as a fisherman happened to catch Mahaprabhu in the net, his limbs were elongated, the joints were loose beneath the skin, and like his eyes were open, Sarup Damodar and all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there searching for Lord Chaitanya, where has he gone? And then finally sees this fisherman chanting Hari Hari Hari, as if like he was really much affected by some incident. And he said, "What happened? Why are you chanting these names?" He said, I was just fishing and finally found that this was a huge dead body, and it actually was a ghost who actually became this form of the dead body. And as soon as I touched to release that body from the net, I was haunted suddenly by this ghost, and I lost my senses. And he was so much in this hysteria that he said, "What is going to happen if I die? What will happen to my family members? So I am going to the exorcist to get free of this ghost." Sarup Damodar said, "I am a very expert exorcist. Just wait. Let me just free you from this ghost." So he puts his hand on the head of this fisherman and slaps him thrice. And says, now the ghost is gone. "And you are so fortunate. Whom you are supposed thinking to this ghost is none but Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you have been affected by the divine ecstasy that he is experiencing from in love of separation from Krishna." And then finally this fisherman came to senses. And then this is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing that ecstasy. So therefore, Sanidhyam, Krishna is just there in Vrindavan, but we are not able to see him. I often like to quote this one wonderful statement by Srila Prabhupada, one of the classic gem-like statements, again and again. Because there is so much substance in that. Prabhupada says in one of the Bhagavatam purports, there are still sages and saintly people in Vrindavan who are madly looking after Krishna, searching for Krishna's footprints. Maybe Krishna, there are some places where Krishna's footprints are not being trampled upon by any other circumstances or any other person or wind or air, and they are madly in search in the Braj Kosh, Chaurasi Kosh, trying to look for these footprints. They are spending their whole life just to see the footprints of Krishna in ecstasy of separation. So Dhruva Maharaj is being told, go to Yamuna and practice, go to Madhuvan to practice. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport the necessity of practicing devotional service in such favorable environment. And Prabhupada says, therefore, the places of pilgrimage yield a special advantage for a devotee in quickly advancing in his spiritual life. Lord Krishna lives everywhere, but still it is very easy to approach him in holy places of pilgrimage because these places are inhabited by great sages. And Prabhupada lists out all holy places. And Prabhupada mentions Dham, Badrinarayan or Badrinath, Dwarka, Rameshwaram, Jagannath Puri. Then Prabhupada mentioned there are 12 forests in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada starts to list all the 12 forests. Padravan, Bilvavan, Kamyavan, Bahulavan, Madhuvan, Talvan, Kumudvan, Bahulavan, Kamyavan, Khadirvan, Vrindavan. And in these 12 forests, there are different ghats or bathing places. But actually, it's not that we go to the holy place and just, Prabhupada said, do some touring or sightseeing. And Prabhupada said, and Narada Muni is told, Dhruva Maharaj, to follow a spiritual discipline. What did Narada Muni say to Dhruva? He told, Snatva anusavanam tasmin kalindya salile shive. That means you should take bath 3 times in the Yamuna. And Prabhupada said to his disciples that first thing is cleanliness is next to godliness. And Srila Prabhupada instituted this. And the Mahabharata mentions, just as a Kshatriya does not fear to fight in the battle, similarly a Brahmana must not fear to take bath. It is very inviting to take a bath in this season. And what to say, why Prabhupada said 3 times? It should be more than that. Why? Because it gives super relief. Like, the necessity actually impels the whole experience of taking the bath. Like we also experience, like we are all on the way to Mayapur and we are all traveling from Howrah to Mayapur. And Sri Chaitanya Prabhu and Dawji Prabhu were with us and we said that nothing could be an option but to just directly rush to the Ganges without even visiting ISKCON Mayapur without accommodation and just dive in the Ganga. Right? Because it was so essential. It was so hot. But Prabhupada says, nevertheless, matras parishastu kontaya shitoshna sukha dukkhada. One must take bath even in winter season. Prabhupada says that. So that shloka is there to give us some support, philosophical support. And therefore, he's saying that one must take bath here. Prabhupada is saying that before, in fact, this was the first thing what was explained to Dhruva on the path of Ashtanga Yoga. First thing is Yam. Yam means what one should not do. Now, Narada Muni did not have to tell Dhruva, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and no gambling. He started with Niyam because Yam was automatically followed by Dhruva. He did not have to be told, okay, don't do this. And therefore, he started with Niyam, take bath. And then, and gave him Asan. Now, this is, Prabhupada said, it says here that one should practice Asan. And like we often see that while chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, as we would hear on this japa tape, Prabhupada is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Sit properly. And sometimes there was some conferences and people were writing, oh, sit properly, that was me. No, that was me, Prabhupada told me. And that was a discussion on the conference. But then the whole importance is to sit, means physically sit in a proper posture so that one can actually mentally sit or fix the mind on the Lord. We can sit the mind and fix it on the Lord. So then Yam was already there, Niyam, Asan, and then Pranayam. Pranayamena Trivrata, Pranendriya Mano Malam. And he's saying that you must gradually control your life air. And Prabhupada is saying here, the mind by nature is always oscillating for it is very fickle, but the breathing exercise is meant to control it. The process of controlling the mind might have been very possible in those days of millions of years ago when Dhruva took to it, but at the present moment, the mind has to be fixed directly on the lotus feet of the Lord by the chanting process. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. One immediately concentrates on the sound vibration and thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord, and very quickly one is elevated to the position of samadhi. Prabhupada's purports are like fast forward. Even before Narada Muni can explain the whole Ashtanga Yoga, Prabhupada read the samadhi. And Prabhupada therefore was very eager. Not only eager, but he was very urgent. Emergency. Krishna consciousness is emergency. Krishna consciousness is not a luxury. And therefore Srila Prabhupada spent the most quality time of his life to give this Bhagavatam purports. Why? Because Prabhupada wanted to inject these messages into the ear of the conditioned souls. And therefore Prabhupada is saying that Manasa Guruna Gurum. Guruna means undisturbed mind. Gurum, you should focus on the spiritual, supreme spiritual master, that is the supreme personality of Godhead. And then the pratyahara is automatically followed, and then dhyan, dharana and samadhi. Thus Narada Muni is explaining how one should fix the mind on the beautiful form of the Lord. Now usually we find when we focus the, when we take the darshan on the Supreme Lord, we just start with the lotus feet. But sometimes we just forget. Sometimes devotees are saying that you are supposed to see from the lotus feet and up. It's gradually progressing. That is the standard formula. But we become so uncontrolled and just see the face of the Lord. But here Narada Muni also is saying a similar way to Dhruva, because he wants to captivate the mind of Dhruva. He's saying the Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful. Prasada abhimukam. Shashwat. That means it is not that Krishna is having some fight with his wife or Lakshmiji and then he's nervous someday, his mood is not there. He's always smiling. Or there is recession, there are a lot of resources which are limited. So Krishna is thinking how to disburse benedictions. This person is waiting upon me. I don't know what he's going to ask from me now again. He has come for the 101st time, asking for the same thing again and again. But then Krishna is prasad abhimukham. Shashwat is always smiling. He's not that, agaya vapas. Again, he has come to ask for the same material desires. Even though he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's again come to ask for the same thing. Again, in the punas punas charvita charvanana. But Krishna is pleasing, prasanna vadana, ikshanam, sunasam, very nicely constructed nose, subruvam, nicely decorated eyebrows, charu kapolam, surasundaram. That means his beautiful forehead, which actually, so the form is so beautiful, that is surasundaram. That means he is even good looking than the demigods. Like when the demigods see us, earthly creatures, they see as if he is the most wretched animal from their point of view, by form wise, because they are extremely beautiful. Can you just imagine the form of Krishna who is more beautiful than the demigods? The tendency is to project our conception of the Supreme Lord. Okay, I also look beautiful, but he must be a little better than me. But then Krishna is not like that. So therefore, it's like one devotee was given the name Surasundar Das by his guru. So Surasundar means more beautiful than the demigod, Surasundar. So he was initiated and he was going to his village and said, Surasundar Das is my name. So everyone could not understand what is Surasundar. So they started calling him Chuchundar Das. So everyone was saying Chuchundar, Chuchundar, and they were saying, Gurudev, please change my name. Please change my name. People are making a mockery out of my name. Surasundar, they could not even spell, because such an inconceivable thing, Surasundar. So then the spiritual master finally gave him a different name. Okay. He said, Sundar Govindas, your name is. So this is how actually the form of the Lord is so beautiful, and Narad Muni is telling Dhruva to concentrate his mind on the beautiful form of the Lord. And saying, Tarunam Ramaniyangam. His limbs is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed, free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish, not by lipstick, but naturally, like not by cosmetics. He is always prepared to give shelter to the surrendered soul. And Prabhupada says that Krishna's form is so beautiful that one wants to surrender to him automatically. Just coming in front of the Supreme Lord, I am yours. That's a natural consequence. And therefore, anyone who feels, is so fortunate as to look upon him, feels all satisfaction. And thus, he is saying, Lord is further explained, having the mark of Shri Vats, wears a garland of flowers. Krishna is very choosy. You know, he wears garland of flowers. He manifests his four hands. And describing the beauty, is finally saying, okay, Dhruva, smayamanam abhidhayet sa anuragava avalokanam nitte naika bhutena manasa varadarshabam. God is always smiling, and the devotee should constantly see the Lord in this form as he looks very mercifully towards the devotee. You can all see the form of Gopinath here, and just focus the same instruction which is given to Dhruva. He's always smiling. Anytime you find Gopinath is not smiling, I don't think so. Even if you project that you, even if you're angry, you cannot just deny that he's not smiling, even if in a nice mood. So he's saying, as he looks very mercifully towards the devotee, in this way the meditator should look towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Bestower of all benedictions. But then he's saying, Japas cha paramo ghuya shruyatam me nirpataj maja yam shaptaratram prapatan puman pashyati kecharan. Japa cha, chanting. So finally, comes to chanting. This is also Narad Muni. After telling everything, like we also start in our program, we start with everything, and finally we say, okay, one has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. After all philosophy is said and done, maybe whatever has happened, even the prasad is over, but the finally is chant. We'll have one round of japa. So Narad Muni is saying, okay, now everything is over, philosophy. Now start chanting japa. And why? Guhya. Paramo Guhya. It is very confidential. Prabhupada is saying, if it is so confidential, then why it is mentioned in writing of the Srimad Bhagavatam? It is confidential in this sense. One may receive a published mantra anywhere, but unless it is accepted through the chain of disciplic succession, the mantra does not act. It is said by authoritative sources that any mantra chanted without having been received from the disciplic succession has no efficacy. And therefore Prabhupada is saying, one must chant. And then finally Lord Muni says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is how we start the Bhagavatam class, by the mantra given by Narad Muni to Dhruva. And he's saying, Mantre nani nani na devasya kurya dravya mayam dravya mayim buddha sa paryam vividhair dravyer deshkala vibhagavit. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is the 12th syllable mantra for worshipping Lord Krishna. One should install the physical forms of the Lord, and with the chanting of the mantra, one should offer flowers and fruits and other varieties of foodstuff exactly according to the rules and regulations prescribed by authorities. But this should be done in consideration of place, time, and the attendant conveniences and inconveniences. Prabhupada did exactly what Narad Muni is saying. He initiated disciples, chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, installed the forms of the Lord. Prabhupada did not construct temples. Prabhupada just installed the forms of the Lord. In whether there was a temple or a bowery or storefront, the first deity was Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. In London, Srila Prabhupada received a phone call from a Mr. Dayal that we have a Radha Krishna deities, would like to come and see. So Prabhupada said, okay, let us go. And he showed that this is what we ordered for the Hindu foundation here, center. And I'd like to show you Swamiji. Prabhupada saw the deities and Prabhupada was very happy. He went, Prabhupada, as soon as they came back from that place, Prabhupada said, let's go back again. Shyam Sundar and Tamal Krishna, come. They are going to the place again. Prabhupada went again, met them. Okay, how is it? And Prabhupada, they were saying that, oh, we'd like to see the deities. Prabhupada said, no. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj just lifted the base of Radharani and he said, she's not so heavy. Shyam Sundar, but I think Krishna is very heavy. So Shyam Sundar said, oh, he's not so heavy. So Prabhupada said, okay, Shyam Sundar, Tamal Krishna, take the deities. We are going. Mr. Daya said, actually that deity was having a chip. The finger was chipped. Radharani's finger was chipped. And therefore he was saying that we cannot install these deities. But Prabhupada said, take these deities in the van. Swamiji, the chip, there is a finger is chipped and you need to repair that. Prabhupada said, we have expert people to fix it up. And Prabhupada said, okay, take in the van. Prabhupada sent in the van. Shamsundar Prabhu, Tamagrishna Maharaj just secured the DTs. Shamsundar Prabhu went in the front, sat in the and drove the van. Prabhupada said, disciples told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you just kidnapped Krishna. Prabhupada said, Krishna played a trick. Just like Krishna played a trick with Mother Yashoda. With every time to tie him, he was always two fingers too short. So therefore Krishna would play this trick with Mother Yashoda. And finally, Krishna agreed. But this is how Krishna has played a trick. And that's how he has come to London. By making that finger chipped. That was cut. That was separated from the block. So said this was Krishna's trick. Because he wanted to come to London. And that's how Srila Prabhupada installed his deities. And there was also another story behind that. The column which Shamsundar Prabhu had raised up for the deities. At the last moment it began to collapse. That was standard altars which were made in ISKCON at the time. That would be all ready before. And just before there was the television network cameras and they were shooting the whole incident and everything was going behind the curtains. This whole thing was collapsing. Prabhupada said, just remove these pillars. And somehow or other they removed the pillars with the canopy and they were all behind the curtain. They were taking the canopy and the pillar and they were shooting this also. They thought this is the part of the ceremony. That this canopies and pillars are going. That's part of the ceremony. And then finally that the deities, Radha Gokulanan, which we see, the first aarti, Prabhupada, the dressing was over and Srila Prabhupada offered this beautiful aarti. And that's how Prabhupada, according to Desh Kalan Patra, he installed his deities in Melbourne, everywhere, and said, I have given my dear Lord, I have given you in the hand of these milichas, so please, you only take care of yourself. That's how Prabhupada actually installed deities and started to preach Krishna consciousness. There are many pastimes of Srila Prabhupada in which he revolutionized the Krishna consciousness movement, but this is actually following the footsteps of Narad Muni. And Prabhupada is finally saying that this is how one should practice in the form of discipline, following the spiritual discipline, chanting upon the order of a superior Vaishnava, spiritual master in disciple succession, and following the instructions and worshipping the Supreme Lord according to Desh Kalan Patra. And that's how Sanatana Goswami was worshipping Madan Mohan with a little flour mixed with water. Madan Mohan said, at least put some salt. And Sanatana Goswami said, I have no time to beg for salt. Now this was Sanatana Goswami telling to Lord personally that I cannot offer you salt and I cannot just offer you salt, so please be satisfied with it. So finally Krishna only arranged this wealthy merchant to come and construct a big temple. So if Prabhupada said, if people give us money, so we construct temples. But Prabhupada actually revolutionized Krishna consciousness by preaching Krishna consciousness without opening many temples by distributing this literature, which is most important to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Because all the nectar, all the Krishna prem is there when there's the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there's the words of Srila Prabhupada. So that's how Srila Prabhupada is exactly following the footsteps of Narad Muni, following the Desh Kalan Patra, giving indications, directions, how to practice Krishna consciousness and go home, back to Godhead in this very life, falling in the life example of Dhruva. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.